Chapter 10. I stared down at the old crone as she continued to titter madly with her head lowered. Underneath the hood, I could make out her wrinkled, misshapen face, but it was one I didn't recognize. Who was she? Was this one of the women tasked with tailing me? Every few seconds, lightning touched down on the other side of the forest, and the clouds overhead continued to churn angrily. Droplets of rain brushed my cheeks gently, but a raging fire burned deep in my belly. "Who are you?" I barked at the woman.
"Do you think it'll be that easy?"
the old crone sang.
"Do you think just because you've captured me, I'll spill my guts and tell you everything I know? Charles Rayburn, you should be smarter than that."
Matilda chuckled darkly, flexed her metal fist, and then glared down at the decrepit old woman.
"We have ways of making you tell us what you know."
"Ah, you mean by force?"
the older woman drawled out.
"Don't you know torture is the worst way to get information? It could be false or forced. Maybe you don't know this, but people will tell you whatever you want to hear as long as they can escape the pain. I should know, Charles Rayburn. I used to do it for a living."
"We have a better way," I growled. "It'll make you better and more willing to tell us what you know."
"What does that mean?"
the old crone hissed and tried to wriggle away in the sand. In one swift movement, I swung the staff through the air, stepped forward, gripped it in both hands, and then slammed down in front of the five women. Their silhouettes against the darkened background shifted, and neon yellows, purples, blues, and oranges flowed out of their bodies and then entered into the glowing core. Each woman flew forward with pained and breathless gasps. For a second, I stared into the flashing confines of the core and watched as it stole and absorbed all of their abilities. One of the guards to the left slowly lifted her head, and her beady eyes moved over my face. At first, she looked stunned and jabbed out her right hand at me, but from what I already knew, nothing happened. Her eyes widened, and her mouth dropped open with a soft croak. When the old crone's eyes met mine for the third time, there was real fear in them. This was worse than torture to her and her comrades. I'd learned over the past few months that the aristocrats had nothing. They were given everything they owned or possessed because of their abilities, and without them, they were useless. Losing their powers was the aristocrats' worst nightmare, though there were no threats that could take them away. Well, except me now. "How does it feel to be weak?" I asked, bent my left knee, and lowered myself closer to her. "How does it feel to finally know what it's like to be a man? This is how we live our whole lives, powerless and weak. And you aristocrats take advantage of that. But you know what's funny? I recently learned your abilities aren't inherent. They were stolen from the forest elves and given to you through a process of twisted experimentation. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that funny?"
"What have you done to us?"
the guard snarled, and spittle flew from her cracked lips. "Now, I don't think you're in the position to ask questions," I barked, and stood to my full height. "Listen, and listen well. I can leave you like this, take your horses, and send you out into the endless desert where you might not find your way home. Or you can tell me everything you know, and I can release you with your horses, some supplies, and send you crying back to the capital." I could tell from the apprehension in both Matilda and Olette that they didn't think either of these plans sounded good. But what they didn't know was I planned to do neither of these things. Once we got the information from these guards, we'd send them to the caravan to collect their horses, but my women would be waiting for them. By the end of the night, these five guards would be part of my Monster Woman army, whether they liked it or not. I may have been a fair leader, a gentle lover, and a kind man, but I certainly wasn't any of those things to our enemies. They could easily use lies to escape, but who said I couldn't do the very same thing? I'd learned a long time ago it was easier to attract flies with honey. Why did it matter if we were lying to our enemies? They would do the very same to us, and if we did release them, they'd run back to the capital and tell the queen everything. This was our first encounter with the queen's guard, and if we let them go now, it'd all be over with. I couldn't let anything like that happen. My women, army, and monster women depended on our safety. If the queen knew what we were doing, she'd wipe us out within days of finding out.
"So,"
the older guard sighed,
"what do you want to know, Charles Rayburn? I can only tell you so much.
Instantly, I turned and stared up at the churning sky. I closed my eyes and called out to Josephine in my mind. Though I wasn't exactly sure how the Drake woman's clairvoyant powers worked, I only knew she could hear me sometimes. Within seconds, the honey blonde's sweet, feminine voice shouted back.
Charles?
The heiress whispered into the confines of my brain. Josephine? I uttered for a second time. You don't need to take in any more guards to question. Only debilitate them and take them back to the caravan. I found someone I need to question.
All right, my love.
The Drake woman chuckled lightly and then fell silent. As I turned back toward the five guards in front of me, the old crone glared up at me and then grinned wickedly. All of her teeth were rotted, while some of them had been ground down to nubs. Her gums were nearly black, and when she licked her cracked lips, the surface of the appendage was covered in a thick coating that almost looked like moss. I would have thought if this woman were one of the queen's closest confidants, she would have been at least healthier and cleaner than this. I wanted to ask Edany or Cecilia, but since the two women weren't here, I couldn't. Start from the beginning, I growled. Then we'll decide if your information is important enough to let you go.
Oh!
The crone laughed heartily.
I don't know what you think is important information, Charles, but no matter who you are, all information is important.
Get on with your story, I commanded. There's no need for useless riddles. Your life is on the line if you haven't realized.
I thought the promise was to release us with our horses.
The guard snarked with a single raised eyebrow.
Anyway, I don't have much to tell you. I'm sure you don't care to learn my name, but it's Esmeralda Devereaux. I'm what you'd call an information broker, if you can even understand what that means. Oh, hell!
Matilda groaned, threw back her head, and rolled her eyes.
Not another one of these annoying bastards!
You've dwelt with them before?
Olette asked in her strangely soothing, undulating voice.
Yep.
The green-haired desperado nodded along.
We've run into them a few times. They're like fucking fleas. You can never get rid of them no matter how many times you wash yourself. They trailed us for a while after we raided a city too many times. At first, we thought they were trying to get information on us. But the damn things just wanted to join us and travel around. We don't take too kindly to vermin sucking the life out of us, you know? They tagged along for a little while, but I think they got tired of us firing off shots at them when they pissed us off too much.
Shut your mouth!
Esmeralda barked.
You sound like a no-class piece of trash when you smack your lips like that.
Least I have all my teeth to smack against my lips.
Matilda shot back and reached for the long-barreled gun over her shoulder.
Don't go insulting people you don't know nothing about. I've dealt with the likes of you before, and all of you are the same. At least I know what I'm talking about, no matter how it sounds coming out of my mouth.
Anyway, I breathed, turned my attention back to Esmeralda, and glared down at her. Continue, or else.
All right, all right.
The old crone grumbled and lifted her wrinkled hands into the air.
I never met the queen, but one of her people, I believe it was her private secretary, sought me out to do some information digging. Of course, there was some extra coin in the deal for me, so I took it. It seems someone pretty high up is interested in you, Charles Rayburn. I can't say for sure if the order came directly from the queen or someone in her royal court. You see, I'm a pretty important information broker in the capital. I may not look like it, but I'm instrumental. Even the queen's companions have used me to get information.
Get to the point, I rolled my eyes. Why were you sent to look after me, and why are you here now? If you're an important information broker, why are you in the royal guard?
I was sent a letter,
Esmeralda grumbled through her ruined teeth.
With the amount of money enclosed for the job, and with a promise of more if I found anything of use. So I tracked down the boarding school you were transferred to, then to the one in Edenheart, and then I finally located you. The first time I tracked you down, you were nothing more than an alchemist, peddling your wares in the street. I needed more than that, so I went to your stall and talked to you. You probably don't even remember that. I even bought a stupid little charm from you. Hell, it worked, but the craftsmanship was shoddy.
No, I shook my head. I don't remember that.
Of course you don't,
the information broker laughed.
I do not doubt your memory. But doing what I do, I have a huge array of costumes and disguises at my disposal. You would have never recognized me in my regular clothes if I'd come back the next day.
So, did you learn anything of use on that visit?
No.
Esmeralda grumbled.
You were an exceptionally closed-off man, but it's the same for all brutes. I will say, you were the first man I was asked to look into. I usually go after high-class aristocrats or people in the royal court who are suspicious. The first visit gave me nothing, but I did have a good chunk of change in my pocket to keep me well-fed for the next few months, so I accepted it at that and turned in my report to the royal secretary. I didn't hear back from them for a few months. Hell, I half expected never to hear from them again, but I got a second letter. They wanted me to go back and check on you, but this time they wanted me to do it every few weeks. I didn't care for the job, but they'd pay more than I'd ever been and keep on an actual payment schedule like an employee to the royal crown. So I did it. I'd travel to Edenhart, check in on you, and then report back every month. That's when it all changed. None of us expected it.
I started working for Edeny, I uttered, and Esmeralda nodded along.
The letters from the royal court came more often. I went back every 2 weeks instead of every month. I tried to get as much information on you and Edeny as I could, but...
Edeny is a difficult woman to get to, I said. Or at least back then she was. She was very tight-lipped about her personal matters. Hell, I didn't know what we were doing, and I was the one who built the goddamn machine.
I managed to get some tidbits here and there,
the information broker went on.
But it wasn't much to go on.
So why'd you stop following me? I asked. When did all of this stop? I'm sure if you stuck around for long enough, you would have found even more information than that. You probably would have found out our whole goddamn plan if you had.
I had other engagements.
Esmeralda chuckled darkly.
Let's just say there are people in the third ring of the capital who will pay a whole fortune to get close to the queen. Let me be more clear. Women from a certain group affiliation will pay you to get close to the queen and find out what she's doing, what parts of the city are the weakest, and so on.
Esmeralda!
One of the other guards gasped.
You committed treason?
I wouldn't call it treason.
The old woman shrugged. So you went behind the back of the queen, your leader, I repeated clearly, and helped the harlots?
I have no affiliation to either side.
The information broker shrugged again with a crooked smile.
I go where the money leads, and if it keeps coming in, then that's who I will stand by.
So, are you the one who told the harlots the weakest point of the capital was the market area? I probed.
Why, yes.
Esmeralda cackled, held out her hand, and examined her blackened fingernails.
I did do that. This specific person asked me to join the royal guard and get as close to the queen as I could. Of course, that's a difficult task for someone my age, so I decided to rely on my other skills.
You broke into the palace, didn't you?
I did.
The old crone nodded with a wicked grin.
No one saw me. I simply looked like an old chambermaid going about my duties. I even managed to sneak into the queen's quarters and find her personal library where all her documents were.
So you found out the weakest spot of the capital, I reiterated. Told the harlots, and now what? You're still in the guard? Why?
You see, Charles Rayburn,
Esmeralda snickered.
I go where the wind takes me, and I thought maybe the guard could help me find my next job. And look at that. Here you are.
I stared down at the decrepit old crone for a long moment and then glanced toward the other four guards. Esmeralda could be useful, but it was clear she'd only work with us if there was something in it for her. Sure, I could offer her the transformation, sweeten the deal with ultimate powers, while leaving out the fact she'd lose all of her memories and be allegiant to my side to the end of time, or at least hers. Matilda, I said, and the green-haired desperado immediately jumped to attention. Take the other four back to the caravan and give them to Daisy. I'm sure she'll know what to do with them. Olette, if you go with her, that'd be great help. I want to talk to Esmeralda a little longer, just the two of us.
Of course, Charles.
The beautiful woman nodded and turned toward the other women with Olette at her shoulder.
We'll return once we drop them off.
Perfect, I nodded, bent my knees, and rested my elbows against them as I leaned closer to the old crone. The two of us sat in silence as Olette, Matilda, and the other guards disappeared from view. The howling wind beat at my back and the droplets of rain smattered against my bare forearms, but I ignored it as I settled my full attention on the information broker. She stared up at me evenly with her hands continually shifting through the cold, wet sand. If she planned to attack, I had a few ways to evade or escape. But it seemed she didn't plan to do anything like that from her calm demeanor.
"Why did you want to talk to me privately, Charles Rayburn?"
Esmeralda asked. "Let me ask you one thing," I whispered. "What is it you want most in this world? Something you've pined after since you were a little girl."
"Money,"
the information broker snapped.
"And lots of it."
"Why?" I asked with a tilt of my head. "You're a woman, probably an aristocrat. Why do you want money so much? Shouldn't you already have it?"
"To believe every woman in the capital is rich is a lie,"
Esmeralda barked.
"In the capital, women are praised for their abilities and then assigned a ring to live in. Those who have weaker or unusable powers are useless to the queen. Therefore, they are nothing more than a step ahead of a brute. Just as low as them, but not as."
"You're renowned, aren't you? You just said you were."
"Yes, for my skills, not my abilities. Want to know what my power is, Mr. Charles Rayburn? Go ahead, guess."
"I have absolutely no idea."
"Want to guess how old you think I am? I won't be offended."
"Well, I know it's rude to ask a woman her age, but I'd say you're maybe in your 70s, earlier 80s from the looks of it."
"I'm 26,
the information broker chuckled.
"My ability is quite literally being ugly. I came out of my mother as a gremlin just as she had come out of her mother. We're a line of ugly women, cursed with hateful appearances, and it'll only get worse as we age. You see, Charles, there are women born in the capital which the queen sees no use for, and they're stripped of their family's titles, their wealth, and then thrown into the first ring with the rest of the brutes."
"Do you hate the queen, then?" I asked. "You've said already you don't pick sides, so do you hate her for what she did to your family?"
"With every bone in my body,"
Esmeralda snarled.
"I would tear her limb from limb if I could. But alas, I'm just an ugly information broker. Though I will say, I don't hate her enough not to accept the money she or her people have paid me in the past."
"How would you feel if I told you I could change all of that?" I uttered.
"What the hell are you yapping about?"
"I can give you a new life. You can be beautiful with an actual ability you can use along with the skills you've already learned."
"What's the catch, then? There's always a catch."
"Be my information broker. Only work for me, and I'll give you everything you've wanted. Beauty, money, and prestige. Once I'm king, you will be one of my trusted counsel."
"There's something you're not telling me about this,"
the woman growled and squinted her eyes at my face in the dim light.
"What is it? Do I have to do something for it? Give something up for you to give me that life?"
"No. Pledge your allegiance to me and I will make all of that happen. You could be an asset to me and I could change your life. Do you really want to keep doing what you're doing? Pretending to be a guard? Struggling day to day to feed yourself? Is that what you really want? When you were a little girl, is this the life you imagined you'd be living?"
"No,"
Esmeralda whispered sadly.
"The queen didn't implement those decrees until I was 11 or 12. So for most of my childhood, we lived in a manor with servants and plenty of wealth."
"Wait, what? What decrees?"
"I thought I already explained them pretty well. Those with low-ranking abilities were forced to move into the first ring, and their titles and wealth were stripped of them, then given to other women with higher-ranked powers."
"I've never heard of such a horrific decree in my life."
"You've clearly never stepped foot inside of the capital, have you?"
Esmeralda sneered, then dropped the sadistic smile from her face as she took on a more serious expression.
"Let me ask you one question, Charles Rayburn."
"What is it?" I uttered, and lifted a single eyebrow in question.
"If I join you,"
the information broker said,
"will we get revenge on the queen?"
"Most certainly. I'm not sure if we plan to kill or spare her yet, but we will take over the capital and dethrone her."
"Let me ask you one more question,"
Esmeralda whispered, and then lifted her face to mine. She was ugly, horribly hideous. But underneath the wrinkles, pockmarks, and warts, there was the potential to be a beautiful creature just like all of my other monster women. I had to wonder, when I'd taken away their abilities, why hadn't her appearance changed? Or was her power so ingrained within her body that it couldn't be taken away? I didn't want to ask because it seemed like an already touchy subject, but my interest was piqued. Go ahead. Ask me anything.
Do you think you're the queen's son?
We're not sure. There's some proof out there, but we don't have all of it. There are clues I could be the son of one of the high-ranking officials, but why would the queen and her court take such an interest in me?
I can't answer those questions.
The gray-haired woman shook her head.
I never knew any information from the missions to find you, except just to find out where you were and what you were doing. No one told me anything. I sent my reports to the royal secretary, and then I have no idea what happened to them after that.
They were logged, placed in a ledger, and then hidden away in a library in Granum. There's rumors that there's more somewhere out there. We hope once we reach Tolna that we can search their archives and find more.
Tolna will be no help to you,
Esmeralda explained.
There's a library there, but the archives are nearly empty. They were shipped off to some other city with space to hold them. It's some sort of medical compound. The only thing Tolna is good for is the army training camps, the weapons they store there, and that's about it. The people are nice, but, of course, aristocratic. So if you're a new brute coming into town, they trust you as far as they can throw you.
See? I chuckled lightly. You're already so useful. So, Esmeralda, what do you say? Will you join me? I'll tell you if you don't, well, the odds aren't in your favor. You won't get your horses or your companions. You'll go through the transformation, except it won't be consensual.
So you lied to my companions?
Esmeralda snickered.
Not that I care. There's only one thing I want out of this, Charles, and that's money. If I agree to all this insanity, I want to be one of the richest women in the capital. Do you understand?
You got it, I laughed, and offered the wrinkly woman a hand. I intend to create a better world. I left out the part about men being equal to women because even though Esmeralda agreed to help us, I was sure she still held the belief that men were lower than dirt. As soon as she went through the transformation, she'd be reborn as a new woman with completely different views and abilities. I knew from past experiences that once she came out, she'd retain all of her past traits and skills. And from what she'd told me, those skills would aid us in the future.
You've got yourself a deal, Mr. Rayburn.
Esmeralda cackled, and a dark light glinted in her beady, rat-like eyes. I knew if given a chance, Esmeralda would betray all of us for the right amount of money, but I wouldn't give her the opportunity. In a way, Esmeralda's mercenary attitude reminded me of Matilda, but the desperado wasn't as conniving as this woman. She'd soon be rid of that after we placed her within my machine and forced her into our troops. I already knew she'd be much happier. All of the women who went through the transformation were. But I wouldn't tell her that she'd be a completely different person when she came out. Let's get you back to the caravan, I smiled, grabbed her by the hand, and hauled her to her feet. I'll introduce you to my women, soldiers, and monster women, and then get you transformed.
So, Charles,
Esmeralda barked with a cackle of laughter.
What does this transformation do exactly?
Have you ever imagined what it feels like to have 10 times the amount of power you currently have? I asked, and glanced over at her as we moved through the sand toward the location of the caravan.
I've imagined having a usable power, yes.
The information broker laughed. I guess I can't really make any comparisons for a situation like yours. Sorry about that. Okay, so imagine what it'd be like to have an ability, an extremely powerful ability. For example, lightning or electricity.
Like the Duchess of Edenheart?
Esmeralda questioned. Yes. You have a limit of power, but you're stronger than any of the women around you. Then imagine your power is augmented, and it's tripled its normal strength. What do you think that would be like?
It'd only be comparable to a god or a deity,
the wrinkled woman answered easily. That happened to Edeny, I explained. She went through the transformation process after we managed to get our hands on the elemental core of a Raiju. The entirety of the core's power transformed over to her and augmented her to the point she's nearly a god walking on Earth. I can give that to you. Esmeralda, I promise that to you.
I just want money,
the gray-haired woman said.
Power and beauty don't matter as much as money does to me. That's all I care about.
I nodded solemnly and knew that within a few hours her mindset would be changed completely. Money wouldn't be the only thing on her mind anymore. She'd want the freedom for all enslaved men, and she'd do anything I said to make me her king. Once we neared the location of the caravan, I could make out a few lit candles inside. Outside of the darkened structure, I spied black masses that could be the unconscious bodies of more guards.
Charles?
A familiar voice murmured through the forest, and as I turned, Cleia appeared out of the thick trees.
There you are.
The Nyx woman's face was pained, and before long, her chosen elf appeared beside her, and then Valerie bounded out behind her.
Charlie!
The feline woman sang, and immediately the turquoise-haired beauty turned to quiet her. What's the matter? I asked.
We managed to take down 4 of the guards and bring them back here,
the Nyx woman sighed.
But we lost track of the other one, and we can't find her.
All right, I nodded and glanced toward the caravan where I found Matilda and Olette. We'll go find her for you. This is Esmeralda. She's our esteemed guest, so treat her as such. Take her inside and transform her for me. Instantly, Cleia's mint-colored eyes swiveled to me with unanswered questions hidden behind their subtle color. But she didn't ask them. Instead, the Nyx woman fell forward into a low bow, and as she rose back up, a broad smile spread over her plump lips.
Lovely to meet you,
Valerie sang and skipped over before grabbing Esmeralda by the hand.
My name is Val, or Valerie. You can call me whichever. I don't mind.
The two of them pulled the wrinkled woman away toward the caravan as Olette and Matilda hurried over. The green-haired desperado rubbed her fleshy hand over the cold metal of her metallic arm and then lifted her eyes to mine. A wide smile spread over her lips, and she slammed a hand down onto my shoulder.
So, we done for the night, partner?
The desperado asked.
I think that's enough excitement for me.
Charles?
Olette purred.
I sense another unwelcome presence on the other side of the forest. Are your women going to bring it back here?
No. I shook my head, brushed off my hands, and then cracked my knuckles menacingly. We're going to have to go after the guard they missed. Matilda, you gave us a good show of your powers. But Olette, we may have fought earlier, but I still haven't seen the extent of yours. Why don't we find that guard, and you can show me the true power of a forest elf?